Well, it's that time here in Spain where we say hi to Chris McCann. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm very well, Howard, and yourself?
I'm very well. Sometimes, good. You know, it's best to go back to basics. And while some of our listeners will be experienced investors or have owned various funds over the years, others will be relatively new to it. For example, if they've recently sold a house or business as part of their move to Spain and are still unsure how best to invest the proceeds. So this week, Blevins Frank's Chris McCann and I will go back to basics and look at the difference between investment assets and what's available and suitable from expatriates living here. So Chris, are shares and equities the same thing, and how do these differ from bonds?
When talking about the stock market, shares and equities are the same thing. They are both terms used to describe units of ownership in a company. Shares or equities work by giving direct exposure to a company's performance. They will rise in value when the company is doing well, and they will fall in value when the company is doing poorly. In practice, when buying shares or equity in a business, the investor becomes one of the many co-owners of the company and usually has the right to vote at annual general meetings and other corporate strategy proposals. The benefit of being a shareholder is that the share price of the company may rise in value and the investor can sell, making a profit. Also, the investor may be entitled to participate in the distribution of company profits in the form of dividends or share buybacks. However, the downside of investing in equities or shares is that there is no guarantee of future profits or that the investor can redeem the amount invested. In addition, if the company goes into liquidation, shareholders are among the last to be repaid in the hierarchy of creditors. Bonds are investment securities where an investor lends money to a company or a government for a set period in exchange for regular interest payments. Once the bond reaches maturity, the bond issuer returns the investor's money. Fixed income is a term often used to describe bonds, since your investment earns fixed payments over the life of the bond. Investors in a fixed interest security are in a more secure position when compared to equities in the event of insolvency or liquidation, as they will be among the first who can claim from the company's assets. In addition, if the issuer of the bond defaults on its debt, there may be a chance of recovery, whereas a share price can fall to zero. Overall, bonds should not be expected to offer the growth rate of equities or shares, but rather provide a relatively safer source of total return and capital preservation features.
There must be thousands of both to invest in. How do people choose between them? Or do you recommend buying funds instead?
There are thousands of individual shares and bonds to consider, and each requires research into its management, industry, and financials. You then need to put a number of these individual stocks together into a portfolio. It is a very ambitious and time-consuming undertaking to build such a portfolio. As most of my clients don't have the time, knowledge, or the inclination to spend a lot of time researching and managing a portfolio of individual shares and bonds, we recommend using collective investment schemes. More frequently known as investment funds, mutual funds, or simply funds, they invest in assets such as equities, bonds, and cash. Your money is pooled together with that of other investors and typically spread over a whole range of assets within the fund, providing a benefit known as diversification. When one investment is down, another might be up, and you're not taking a chance on the fortunes of one single asset, meaning your overall risk is reduced. By pooling money with other investors, you are also buying power, and access to assets and markets is greater than if you were buying single assets on your own. Thanks to their bulk buying power, they can also be more cost efficient than buying a high number of individual investments on their own. Finally, as well as being simple to run, they allow you to access the expertise of full-time, dedicated fund managers and their teams of analysts who have access to market information outside the scope of the average investor.
And what are real assets, and how do you invest in them?
A real asset is a tangible asset you can touch, like a bridge, or a building, or gold. There are typically three categories of real assets: real estate, commodities, and infrastructure. Unlike conventional equities and bonds, the value of real asset investments comes from the physical nature of their underlying assets. The inherent characteristics of each real asset can vary, but they have several features in common. They have historically exhibited a lower correlation to other investment assets, and so can provide the benefit of greater diversification. They have historically exhibited greater ability to provide protection from inflation than the broader equity and bond markets. They can also offer a stable income supported by contractual cash flows, which can prove particularly advantageous for investors in a low interest rate environment, where more traditional yield options are anchored by lower interest rates, as seen globally for the past several years. There are different options for investors seeking exposure to real assets, ranging from private investment funds to publicly traded funds. If listeners are unsure if they already have exposure to real assets in their portfolios, or if they would like to learn how they can invest in real assets, I suggest speaking to one of our local Blebbins Franks partners.
Some investors are attracted by the potential high returns of real estate. Do you have to buy actual properties, or are there real estate funds you can invest in?
Real estate investing can offer robust long-term returns that are not entirely correlated with the stock market. Hence the attractiveness. Primary residences are the most common way most people invest in real estate. You take out a mortgage, you make your monthly payments, and gradually build ownership in your home. With luck and strong demand in your local market, you can cash in on equity when you sell your home. While there are areas of the country where home appreciation is much higher, on average, the house you live in is unlikely to dramatically grow in value, especially once you factor in costs like maintenance and repairs, insurance, property taxes, and the interest you pay on your mortgage. A way to invest in property is to consider purchasing rental properties. However, it requires a great deal of effort on your part. You need to find and vet tenants, pay for ongoing maintenance, take care of repairs, and deal with any other problems that arise. You can reduce some of these headaches by hiring a property management company, but this will cut into your returns. Another way to invest in property is buying and flipping properties. Although, like rental properties, flipping takes a lot of work and can be high risk if it involves renovation and construction. Long story short, it's not as easy as it may look on the television. If you want to invest in property immediately and you want to avoid the costs and risks when you invest directly in physical property, you may wish to consider investing in a real estate investment trust, or REIT. REITs raise funds by selling shares and issuing bonds and use the proceeds to purchase and lease real estate assets like shopping malls, office buildings, apartment buildings, and warehouses. REITs take the fuss out of owning real estate. The management handles all of the ownership and rental logistics. You just sit back and collect the dividends, which are frequently higher than many equity-based investments. REITs can be bought and sold in the market like any other public company. This makes REITs about the most liquid real estate investment available. To provide a more diversified, lower risk and more tax efficient way of buying REITs, we prefer clients to invest in a fund comprising multiple REITs managed by professionals.
How do people work out which assets to buy, how many of each, and so on?
Well, at Blevins Franks, we harness the expertise of our chosen investment partners to create solutions that are meticulously researched, diversified across a broad range of opportunities, and dynamically managed to adapt to changes in global markets. A Blevins Franks partner works with each client to find the most appropriate portfolio for their needs. The partner will build a precise understanding of each client's needs and will tailor a portfolio for each client, taking into account their existing investments, attitude to risk, and financial goals. Tactical changes to the asset allocation are then made to ensure that their portfolios continue to be positioned correctly. If any listeners would like to learn more about our process, again, they simply need to speak with one of our local partners.
While the potential returns can be very enticing, we also know that markets can fall as well as rise. So how can people reduce investment risk?
Statistics show that if you have a well-diversified portfolio of investments, you'll often achieve better returns. Different assets or regions will perform differently and can often vary significantly from year to year. Asset classes that are the best performer one year can become the worst performer the following year. By having a diversified or well-spread portfolio covering a range of regions and asset classes, it's often possible to get better returns with less volatility or risk. We not only spread investment risk by investing across asset classes and geographies, but also across manager styles, in the aim to deliver more consistent performance over time with lower risk.
Does living in Spain make any difference to which investments you should hold in your portfolio? And if people already have a portfolio they were happy with in the UK, do they need to review it now they're living in Spain?
Typically, all around the world, investors tend to have too much exposure to their own market, in that the market that they know best tends to be the easiest to invest in. For example, most British expatriates that I meet tend to hold too many investments in UK-based companies. They also need to consider currency risk. Again, British expatriates tend to retain too much exposure in sterling. Regardless of how effective your investment planning was in the UK, you pretty much need to start afresh in Spain. What was suitable in the UK is unlikely to be suitable here. My advice to listeners that have not yet investigated if their investment portfolios are suitably structured as residents of Spain is that they should invest an hour or two of their time meeting with a local Blevins Franks partner. There's no cost for an initial chat, and it might result in significant benefits for many years to come.
When we're investing our hard-earned savings, we want to do what we can to protect our capital by taking regulated advice, and investing in regulated products is a key part of this. But has it become harder for UK expatriates to get regulated advice and services since Brexit? And what can they do about it?
The UK lost financial services passporting rights with Brexit, and UK-based advisors are no longer authorised to give advice within the European Union. As 2021 went on, more UK-based advisors, such as banks, investment insurance companies and financial advisors have had to concede that they can no longer appropriately advise or service their EU resident clients. If you still retain UK investments for the time being, a UK-based advisor may be able to help to continue supporting you under certain conditions, such as you having to travel back to the UK for meetings and paperwork requirements. However, you need to consider how this is going to work in situations where you need funds quickly or you're unable to travel due to illness or travel restrictions. If you hold investments with an EU-based institution, they may no longer be able to accept instructions such as top-ups from a UK-based advisor. For example, the financial regulator in France has recently confirmed that it would be illegal for French banks and insurance companies to do business with an advisor who is not authorised in France post-Brexit. Similarly, the Central Bank of Ireland has stated that it will not allow unregulated entities to renew or create new policies from 2021. As Spain tends to look to other European countries in relation to how to regulate its financial services sector, it's possible that Spain could introduce similar legislation to protect consumers. This being the case, if any listeners still use a UK-based financial advisor, firstly, I suggest that they have their UK advisor confirm in writing that they can legally provide them with regulated services or if there are limitations. I then suggest that they immediately take steps to protect themselves and look to transition to an advisor such as Blevins Franks, who are fully regulated to provide advice and services in Spain post-Brexit.
Chris, will Blevins Franks be covering investment in the seminars you have coming up?
Yes, investment planning in today's world is one of the topics we'll be covering at all of our seminars, including looking at how to protect your capital from inflation and market volatility. Other topics include the importance of suitable and regulated advice, tax and estate planning solutions. We have three seminars coming up very shortly. NERCA in the Malaga province on Tuesday, 17th May. Vera in Almeria on Wednesday, 18th of May. And Algorfa in Alicante on Thursday, 19th of May. We also have two more seminars in Malaga province, in Marbella and Fuengirola, on the 7th and 9th of June. You'll find all the topics and venue information on our website, blevinsfranks.com, where you can also book online.
And the seminars are very busy, so it's a good idea to book in advance, I guess.
Yeah, I would highly recommend booking in advance.
Many thanks, Chris.